You know, we're well into a series talking about battles and breakthroughs, and Karen and I have been away. We're so glad to be back and see all you guys now. And but in the meantime, we've had some good, great preaching, haven't we? You know, Ben and his brother Dave, you've been filling in and doing an awesome job and challenging people through the Word of God. So I want to thank you so much. You know, so good to be in the house of God. How many of you here this morning? You raise your hand. Okay, we're all glad to be here. Nobody's not glad to be here. Yeah, glad to be here. So welcome to everyone here. Welcome to those who are joining us online this morning as well. Okay, ready for the Word of God? Okay, let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Thank you for your Word. We know the power of your Word eliminates all kinds of deceptions and even helps to drive out fear. It's truth that sets us free. So, will you repeat with me this morning? Father God, I'm ready to hear your word. I'll believe it. And by your grace, I will live it out, put it into practice for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This week I'm talking about, my message is entitled, Of Battles and of Storms. I mean, we have faced battles in life, but I think even more, we go through storms of life. Trials and problems are a part of your life, even if you're a believer in God. What did Jesus say? In this world, you will have trouble, right? You're going to have some problems. Listen, giving your heart to Jesus does not eliminate pain and trouble, but he does give you a divine power to overcome. And he gives you a rock, a solid foundation on which to stand when the storms come, and they will come. You're either heading into a storm, or you're in the middle of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. Life is like a voyage. It's like a journey. And there's no such thing as the storm as a storm-free life or voyage. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. The Apostle Paul said these words, "Through many hardships and tribulations, we enter the kingdom of God." Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to hardships and struggles and problems. But welcome to Jesus, the victorious one, the overcomer of all the storms, all the trials that this life and the enemy can throw at us. Amen? Through hardships and tribulations, as believers, I think sometimes we have more struggles and hardships and difficulties than non-believers. You know why? Because we have an enemy. And the moment you receive Christ, all of a sudden, you also got an enemy involved in your life. And not only that, we live in an anti-culture, anti-God culture, anti-Christian culture. Some Christians I know just want to give up and just want to move to Lake Placid where the deer and the antelope play. And their theme song is, "Oh, God, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play where the seldom is heard a discouraging word and the skies are not cloudy all day and the coyotes and the dogs are going, oh, 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 in the background." Question, yeah. Wasn't that good? Wasn't anything close to Willie Nelson, wasn't it? Question, what do you do when a storm threatens your life, your liveliness, your livelihood, your family, your future, a storm that comes against your faith? What do you do? Well, in Acts chapter 27, we find the great apostle Paul, and he's a prisoner, and he's being sent to Rome. And he's aboard a ship. On the way, they get caught up in a storm, a terrible storm. And Paul and the crew of sailors, and there's actually 276 of them aboard on this ship, and they find themselves in the middle of the sea in a terrible storm, and we could call it the mother of all storms. Read that, Acts chapter 27. What did we do in a storm? Well, let's look at what the Bible says about what they did in this storm. Acts chapter 27, 16 to 17. Paul says, as we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship. They would dive into the waters in those stormy seas, and they would bring ropes under the ship. They would secure the rope under the ship itself to hold it together, to brace it. Here's the first thing they did. And the first thing we need to do, we've got to brace, hold our minds together with the Word of God. We've got to meditate on Scripture continuously. Amen? And Tommy Zito, when he was here, talked about that word meditate. He says, actually, that word meditate, it means to mutter. So when I thought, you know what? Meditation is not just a mind thing, getting into your mind. It's making the Word, the powerful Word, come out of your mouth. It's a mind out of your mouth matter. Amen? It's a mind-to-mouth thing. We're to meditate on the Word of God continually. We're to declare them out loud when you go to sleep and when you get up, and memorize them. Here's a few. And you've probably got way more than good ones maybe than these. But let me give you two or three. Revelations 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, famous verse in the New King James Version. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's for every single person in this room. I don't know. I don't care what you're going through, what your history in the past has been. That's your future. It's good, and it's full of hope. Here's a good one. Job chapter 8, verse 7. Where you began will seem unimportant because your future will be so successful. Powerful scriptures that we need to meditate and declare. So, question, what does meditating on and declaring scripture actually accomplishes? You know what it does? It helps to brace your mind and to get you to focus on what God's word says in the midst of your circumstances. That's why bracing your mind with the word of God is so, so powerful, because it reminds you of what's true and reminds you that no matter what you face, that God has a good plan and a high purpose for your life. Amen? Amen? David's battle. We think about David. That battle he had in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it was against a formidable opponent called Goliath. David's battle was won not against what he fought or who he fought, but it was won by what he thought. Amen? What was David thinking when he saw God? Oh no, this guy's too big. I can't handle this guy. Lord, is that what David was thinking? What was he thinking? You know what he was thinking? He was thinking, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I'm taking you out, man. His battle was fought. It was won not against what he fought, but against what he thought. So important that we get the right thoughts into our mind. Acts 27, verse 29, Paul said, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern, four anchors, And they prayed. And they prayed for daylight. I'm going to give you four anchors. Here are four things that will help sustain you through a storm of life. Here's the first one. The first one, the anchor of hope. Here's what we need to understand today. That the world we live in is not a peaceful place. That we live in a stormy, windy world of questions, assumptions, people's opinions, worldly philosophies. We live in a world of our own bad experiences, of others' bad experiences. We live in a world of fear and worry. And if we, listen, if we get focused on any of that kind of stuff in a day, in a moment, it can change the entire course of your life. Amen? On Sunday, you're sailing on the waters of faith. And you're feeling good, and you're feeling so good about your future. But then on Monday, you can find yourself drifting into and being driven by fear and worry and hopelessness. That's why the Bible reminds us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, that we have this hope as an anchor for our soul that keeps us from drifting, that keeps us from being driven into fear and worry and hopelessness and anxiety. Amen? And the Bible says right here, and this anchor for the soul, it's firm and it's secure. Listen, your soul is so important. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And what gets into your mind and your will and your emotions will get into your heart. Amen? And what does the Bible say? Guard your heart. Because in it are the very issues of life. That's why you've got to start to guard what gets into your mind, into your emotions, your soul. Amen? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This is the Passion Version. He says, we have this certain hope, like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God Himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened. Where's it fastened to? The very mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. Wow! That's the power of our hope. Amen? Hope is what connects us, literally connects us to the throne room of God, to His very seat. And that's why the devil works so hard to steal your hope. Proverbs 13, verse 12 is not up there. It says, hope deferred, what does it do? It makes the heart sick. Hope deferred, hope put off, no hope makes you sick. The unanchored soul will drift into negativity, worry, doubt. These things can make you sick. Listen, I believe this, that we of all people, the people of God, we should be a people of hope. Amen? Neuroscientists say that hope is so essential to our survival, arguing that it can be the difference between living a healthy life versus one trapped in despair. Man, if we ever need anything, we need hope. We need hope. And God, by the Spirit, when He put His Spirit into you, He gave you the ability to hope. Every single one of us as believers, we have the ability to hope. Do you remember in Hebrews 13? These three remain. Faith, hope, and love. We have the ability to have faith in God, to trust Him. We have the ability to hope in Him as well as the ability to love. Question, what is hope? Let's define it. Hope is, on your screen, an expectation of good. Hope is not a wish. Hope is an expectation of good. Hope is so incredibly important to hold on to. Here's why. Listen, because your expectations, your hope, will set the limits on your life. Amen? what you see in life, what you receive in life, can be limited by your hope. So let's expand this definition to the definition in the Bible on your screen. Hope is the expectation of God's goodness. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every what? Come on, say it out. Every what? Every good and every what? Perfect thing. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. Coming down from who? From the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's an immutable God. He never changes, and He never changes His mind about you. Amen? Amen? Yeah. As believers, hope doesn't come from somewhere nebulous out there, but hope is the expectation of God's goodness in your life. Amen? Amen? Question. How do you wake up in the morning? It's sore because you work so hard. I know some people wake up in the morning thinking, oh man, I wonder what bad thing's going to happen today. Yesterday was not so good. How am I ever going to survive today? But listen, as believers, when we wake up, what should we be thinking? You know what we should be thinking? I wonder what blessing God has prepared for me in advance. I wonder what good thing God has for me today. Amen? My grandkids, when they were younger, they still do today, Mason and Layton, every time Nan, Karen, went away, every time they went away, they always anticipated, always expected something good when Nan got back. And she always did that. Amen? Can I remind you? Can I give you a revelation that will change your life? That's changed my life. Here's the revelation. You're a child of God. And you have a loving, caring, generous Father who wants to be good to you. Amen? We need to anticipate, we need to expect good from the Father today. Amen? Amen. Because hope as a person. Hope as a person. So, if today is a package or a present, what good thing has God for me today, for you today, this week, next month, this year? If you hope, if you expect, during the hard times, you're going to see good things in your life. Amen? So what do? We drop our anchor into what? Into the goodness of God. A powerful truth upon which we can all stand today is this, that God is good. Proverbs 23, verse 6. David said, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. All the days. He didn't say, surely bad things, misfortune, difficulties will follow me. And he says, no, your goodness is chasing after me. You know, and I can't get away from it. This, we quote the scripture so many times. Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Say with me, how much more? How much more? Let's read it together. All right? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Listen, He's not twice as good. He's a billion times more good to us than anyone else could be to us. Amen? Amen. So the question is, why do we doubt? Why do we question? Amen? Can I say to you, let's drop the anchor right here. Right here in the goodness of God. Let's stubbornly take our faith stance right here. And let's trust in God, even in those seasons when His goodness seems to be invisible. Amen? And listen, let's don't frame our entire life in the negative now. In the moment, and don't linger there in the negative now, and don't live there. I believe the devil wants to scatter marriages. He wants to scatter families. He wants to scatter nations. He wants to scatter churches. And he wants to take out your vision and my vision for our future. Amen? But listen, God has a remedy. You know what it is? Lift up your head and look to God. And build back what hell has destroyed in your life. Amen. I believe every single one of us, we've had stuff in our life, maybe relationships, that have been stolen by the enemy. He got involved, and he scattered, and he took them. And you know what? Bible says, we can get them back. We can build back whatever hell has destroyed. Amen? It's time to quit whining. I say this with love. It's time to quit whining. I'm speaking this to myself. And start working. Working on our marriages. Working on our families. Working on our ministries, shoring them up, strengthening them, amen? And rebuild demonic damage, amen? Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. There's three things we must do, three things to rebuild what the enemy has scattered on your screen. Number one, rebuild your altar. I talk about altar. What does your altar represent? Anybody? Your prayer life, your prayer connection to God. Rebuild your altar. Every problem that we have with people is a prayer problem. There's not a problem in your life that can't be helped and solved by prayer. Amen? If you fix your altar will fix you and rebuild your life. Amen? Rebuild your altar. Get the fire going on your altar. Start praying to God. I heard a slogan when I was in Nelson. It was at my Pastor Jim's house when we visited him. And it says, when times get hard, that's when you pray the hardest. A lot of people don't agree with that, but I believe that's the truth. Man, when times get hard, I'm praying my hardest. You can't stop me from doing that. Rebuild your altar. Number two, rebuild relationships with others. Don't let your life be all about yourself. If you build others up, you'll be amazed how God will build you up. If you pour into others, God will pour into you. Rebuild your altars. Rebuild your relationships. Let me say this. You know, as a believer, the enemy is out to destroy relationships. And probably many of us have lost some relationships. And you can cry and whine and be pitiful, or you can say, you know what? You don't want to have a relationship with me? I'm moving on to the new ones, even better ones. There are so many people out there that God wants you to have a relationship. Don't rue about some relationship. Amen? I could really get on a path with this one, but I've got to quit right there. Rebuild your relationships. Number three, rebuild yourself. Rebuild yourself. Praying in the Holy Spirit will build your faith. Amen? Listen, when there's no one else to encourage you, you've got to learn to encourage yourself. That's what David did in the Bible. Remember? All these men wanted to kill him. Everybody wanted to kill him because the enemy had stolen their lives, of their wives and their children and everything else. And the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he got up, and he won his battle. Amen. The enemy wants to destroy you, distract you, scatter you, discourage you. But God has a remedy, and it starts when you stop whining and start working, amen? And God will empower you to rebuild everything that hell has restored, even what the locust has devoured. Number two, and I'm going to go quickly here now. Second anchor, throw your anchor into the church. A church home is the second anchor you need in a storm of life. A lot of people run from the church when they have troubles. Why? Because they're embarrassed of what people will think about them. They're ashamed if their marriage is in trouble or if they're dealing with a problem or an issue, an addiction. And instead of coming to church and throwing their anchor down and asking for help, they'll isolate themselves. And I tell you, this is the enemy's plan. Jesus made it clear. It's not the healthy, it's not the well who need a physician. Who is it? Jesus came for sick people. He said the church is not just a place for holy huddles. It's a hospital for the hurting. And it's a safe haven for people who need help. Good. So when you're in a storm, anchor yourself in the church. Amen? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we must pay most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so we do not drift away. That word, that the writer of Hebrews is using this specific word, drift, and he's warning us about the dangers of drifting in life. So what does God do? He puts us in a ship. Not a cruise ship, more like a battleship. A fellowship of believers, like-minded believers, heading in the same direction, caring for one another, encouraging one another, serving one another with Jesus at the helm. Amen? Yeah. Your life is like a ship. So anchor yourself in yourself to the church. Number three, third anchor that we need to drop in a difficult time is this. Anchor yourself in the promises of God. Someone said, when the storm rages, trust the gauges. Here's the key. When life feels unstable, focus on reliability of God's word. Amen? When you can't hear God, read God. Get into the word. Faith grows not in the absence of problems, but right in the midst of problems. Like a pilot in a storm, you got to trust the gauges. He has to trust the gauges more than he trusts his feeling. It's the same for us as believers. We have to trust in God's word over our emotions and negative circumstances. Amen? When nature rages, focus on the gauges. Keep your eye on the gauges. What are the gauges? The promises of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 4 says, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Read the word, know what the promises of God, declare the promises of God over your life. Amen? Last one, anchor yourself in your purpose. Your purpose. Focus on your purpose, okay? Acts chapter 27, verse 23. It's been 14 raging days of storm. They've been buffeted by the storm. They've thrown everything overboard. They haven't eaten, and a lot of them haven't slept. It's been 14 days. And then Paul says to everyone aboard that ship, last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. What was Paul saying? Paul was saying, we have purpose and God will get us through this because we have purpose. Your purpose does not change in the storm. Amen? your purpose predates your conception. God didn't conceive you and form you and then put his purpose into you. No, he had a purpose even before you were conceived, even before you were born. I've got a purpose for making you this person. Amen? God has a purpose for you being here, and there's absolutely no storm that could ever kill your purpose. I believe that most people don't achieve their dreams and their goals that God has given, not because they lack talent or experience or education or resources. It's because people lack focus. The vision, our vision gets clouded. And the enemy's goal, listen, the devil, Satan's goal, is to divert and distract you from God's plans and purposes for your life. Losers focus on what they're going through. Champions, winners, focus on what they're going to do with the life that God has given them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus focused on where he was going instead of what he was going to go through. Amen? And there was absolutely nothing that could distract him, divert him from God's purposes and the mission that God has for his life. Amen? And aren't you glad that it was so? Listen, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will make it. You will make it. Guaranteed. It's a promise and a word. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's not just the finisher of your faith. He's not the author of your faith, the beginner. He's also the finisher of your faith. Start to finish. Never will I leave you. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Amen? And thank God for the end of the story. Acts chapter 27, 43 and 44. The soldiers wanted to kill all the prisoners, including Paul, because they were ready to get shipwrecked. They were ready to cut the anchors, be driven into sea, be run aground on the shores of an island called Malta. But it says, but the centurion, there's a picture up there too, I believe. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and help them from carrying out their plan. He ordered that those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Wow. That's how you overcome a storm. Just grab a plank and just ride out the storm. Amen? Everything's going to be all right. And everything was all right. And when they got to that island, God manifested his power in healings, signs, miracles. The leading official, the leader of that island, his dad, his father, was dying. He was sick. He was really sick with fever and dysentery. You know what that's like, right? If I had that. Well, Paul healed them. And everybody heard about them, and they brought all the sick. And that entire island came to Christ, came to the kingdom of God. Amen? Listen, the world is watching you and us. Are we going to respond any differently to the storms of life than they do? Amen? What are we bringing to the lost world? What are we to bring to the lost world? You know what it is? Hope. Amen. The hope of salvation. The kingdom of God. Amen? Jesus. Listen, you and I, we were born to win. We were born to win every single storm and battle that comes against us. Amen? All the storms of life. Not only that, we were born, designed, and created to rebuild and take back everything that the enemy has destroyed. Do you believe that? Yes. Then shout amen. 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 Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, today, I pray like the great apostle prayed to the Ephesians. I pray, Father, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, open, wide open, so that we could see, so that we could know the hope of our calling and the inheritance of the riches of our inheritance that we have in the saints, in the church, and also the incomparable power that you've given us. Same power that raised Christ from the dead resides and abides in us. You didn't leave us helpless and hopeless. You've empowered us to overcome and to win. We just got to incorporate those things the Bible tells us to do. Amen? So, Father in heaven, wherever we are in the storms, help us to see you, to focus on you, to believe your words in every step of the process and the way to victory, to breakthroughs, to healings, and to miracles. In Jesus' name we do pray. And Father, we declare. In fact, let's declare. Declare this out loud with me. Repeat after me. Father in heaven, even in the worst of storms, you are good, and you will do good things for me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Keep your heads bowed for just a minute. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. I don't know everyone here, but you may be here and you've never received God's goodness, God's grace in your life. You've never received and invited Christ into your heart to receive the greatest gift that you could ever receive, which is the gift of eternal life. The Bible says that all men, everyone has sinned. We've all made mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If that's you, you've never received, invited Christ into your heart to receive the gift of eternal life, you can do that today simply by saying this incredible prayer. Or maybe you've walked away from God recently and you're trying to come back to God. Repeat this prayer. Repeat this prayer. Invite Jesus back into your life. Repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross and you shed your blood to pay for all my sins. Today, Lord, I repent of my sins and I turn to you. I open up my heart and invite you into my life, into my heart, to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Keep your heads bowed, please. Keep your eyes closed for just a minute. If you are here and you said that prayer for the very first time in your life, I want you to raise your hand right now. It's the greatest moment in your life, greatest decision that you're making. Anyone? Listen, if you said that prayer and you invited Christ into your heart, let us know. Go to the connections desk there and we'll tell you a next step of faith. As well, let us know while you're watching on screen. Touch that hand. Amen? Amen. God is so good, isn't he? And he wants to be so good to you. Amen? Amen.